This is Pastor Jim Cresson at Rock Springs First Methodist Church. We invite you to join us as we worship in praise, music, and the spoken word at 10:30 a.m. Sunday mornings at 1515 Egger Street, just above the high school. I want to share a favorite passage of Scripture with you. It's found in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." As we think about those three things, the way, the truth, and the life, we find that Jesus gives us direction, hope for our life we live, and truth that we may heal in grace. Visit us online at rocksprings.umc.org. Of course, you're always welcome to worship with us at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs, just above the high school. We are a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Cresson on Sunday, March 27, 2022. On Sunday, April 24, 2022. We are a Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lamb upon the throne, Lord of peace, our shield, defender, redeemer, and friend. Mere words cannot fully describe all that you are. We stand in awe, and yet you have drawn us here. The Holy Spirit empowers us to share your good news, to tell the story of your coming kingdom, and to rejoice in your life freely given. Help us to live beyond ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Not let us pray. Let us begin in silence. Let us center our hearts and our minds before God's throne. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before you now, together, as the body of Christ, the church. We gather in a building, in a place called sanctuary. But Father, it's just brick and mortar. You are our sanctuary. You are our Redeemer. You are our hope. And while we enjoy the protection from the elements, your protection from all that seeks to destroy us and harm us is even more important. And Father, we realize that we have no way of knowing how often you have protected us, how often you have been there, and how often you have interceded. So Father, we praise you and thank you for your love, your grace, your peace and your protection, for your provision and your Holy Spirit. And Father, we join with Doris to pray for ourselves as a church, as a body of believers, that we would be doing all that you call us to, that we would all be active and a part of what goes on in the church, that we wouldn't be bench warmers waiting on someone else to win the game, but that we'd all be involved. And Father, the least thing we can do is pray, to pray for your church and your will and your purpose. And Father, in light of that, we seek forgiveness for our sins, grace for our lives, peace for our journey, provision in our challenges, hope in our hopelessness, comfort in our brokenness. Father, we pray that you would touch us in ways that we would know it was only you and that only your hand could be touching us. And Father, we'd pray that others would see you at work in our communities, in our churches, in our lives, and stand amazed at your work, accomplishing things only you can do. Father, truly forgive us, and let us truly forgive others. But help us to love one another. And Father, we would pray that the bonds of division be broken, that we would be a community together, that we would live locally, know our neighbors, and love one another. Father, we'd pray that you would empower us to do that, to know who they are, that we might live together. And Father, as we pray for that, we pray that Christ be proclaimed. Not denomination, not doctrine, but Christ. That we would come together as believers and as the body of Christ. Father, we pray for our community. We pray for our youth, our kids. We pray for all our people here around us. We pray for our nation, nations around the world. Father, we pray for peace. We pray that you would let us war no more, that we would love one another instead of figuring out how to kill each other, and that we had put aside our own agendas, our selfishness, our ambitions, and the things we want, and go for love and seek that which you call us to. Father, we pray today that you be the center of our lives, locally, nationally, and in the world. Father, there's never been a time that revival in the world isn't needed more than today. A calling back to morality, decency, commitment, and grace. Father, would you lead us and guide us and show us how to be the witness we should be with you. Father, we pray for the needs upon our hearts and in our lives, for Pat's family and all those who will mourn her loss. Everybody in Rock Springs knew Pat, and she knew everybody. So, Father, her place will be empty, and she will be missed. And it isn't a single place. It is many. So, Father, comfort her family. Give them your peace. And, Father, we do pray for all the needs on our hearts and lives. We pray, Father, the ones we've spoken, the ones that are silent. We pray for those who are in hospitals, nursing homes, even shut-ins in their own homes. Father, we pray for transitions and changes that are hard, that are difficult, but we pray they bring peace. And now we'd pray as you taught us, joining our hearts and voices. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our reading for this morning is from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them.
If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God.
Everybody get your Bible out. Get your Bible out. Catch up with us. John chapter 20. Got some stuff you need to see. You need to be sure I'm telling you the truth. You need to believe. John chapter 20, 19 through 31. We're going to start at the end of it before I really get into the message, because there's some things we have to see. There's some things going on. This is, believe it or not, one of the most important and informative pieces of Scripture that we have. This tells us tons. This loads the wagon for us. It is a place where we can find truth. It is a place where we can find many things that we need, in our journey, so that we can believe. Believe comes trust, and coming from trust comes faith. Which comes first, belief or faith? We'll talk about it. So jump down with me to verse 30 of chapter 20. Please be there and look at this. I want you to see it as well as hear it. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." Belief. What makes us believe something? Now, as most of you should know by now, I grew up in the Southeast, poor as dirt. And one of the things that we enjoyed doing, I enjoyed coon hunting. How many of you have ever been coon hunting? Do you have them here? Raccoons. I'm calling raccoons. We loved it. It was so much fun. And I went with my grandpa when I was young, and I had my own coon dogs. I loved my coon dogs. They were not nice dogs. These are business people. These are not your little fluffy toy that sits on the couch and chews on something he shouldn't. These chew on people. Well, maybe that's something they shouldn't chew on too. But anyway, they've got a little tenacity. And my favorite, my grandpa liked black and tans. Black and tans. Just exactly that. Picture a black and tan dog with big old ears. And you've got one. That's what he was, about 80-pound dog. But I liked a red bone and blue tick mixed. Made a blue tick. That's what we call them, our red ticks. They were great. They had that red bone sniffer and that blue tick tenacity. Made the best coon dogs. Loved them. Loved them. But we would go coon hunting. And my grandpa would spend a lot of time. You'd get up on a ridge, you'd wait, and the dogs would be doing their thing. And if they started barking, you had to go find them and go see what they treed you, all that stuff. And my job was carry the gun and shoot out whatever it was. And grandpa carried the flashlight. Only had one. Grandpa kept a little guy in his pocket that was for the shooting light, but he had this giant lantern thing he carried, and that thing had two of these 6-volt batteries in it. I mean, I don't even know if you can still buy those batteries anymore. And it wasn't like you shined it out here. It lit up around you. Now, my grandpa had a favorite thing he liked to do. I warn you, if you're hiking with people and you're in a limby place where there's lots of bushes, pay attention. My grandpa would be walking along and he would grab a limb and he'd take it with him. Dude, he'd turn that limb loose and it would just slap the bejeepies out of you. And you'd go, "Ow!" He'd go, "Ha, ha, 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 ha." You didn't see that coming, did you? Well, heck no, you had the light in this dark world trail. How was I supposed to see that coming? Pay attention. But we go, and he told all these magnificent stories. They were just stories, you know. Old man telling stories. He talked about when he was younger. He said, "Son, when I was younger, I could clear a 5-strand barbed wire fence. I just put my hand on top of the post like that, and I just hop and get over on the other side." I'd laugh. He told me about this dugout house that was up on Long Arm, which was up next to Mount Mitchell. He said, "Man," he said, "that thing's 60 by 60 on the inside, but you can't find it." I said, "Because it ain't there." Yeah. It was just stories, you know, just tales. Stories. We were hunting Long Arm, and he said, "You want to see that dugout?" I said, "Yeah, I want to see that 60 by 60 dugout." He said, "If you don't know where it's at, you'll never find it." I said, "Well, it's pretty darn dark. I don't think we'll find it because it ain't there, Paps." "Don't you call me Paps." We found a dugout that was 60 by 60, if not bigger. They dug it in, and there was a cavern under there. It had all kinds of stuff in there. It had canned goods and stuff, though I wouldn't have ate anything that was in there. It had its own water source. I thought, darn, it's here. We were coming back home from that very same hunting trip. We got 2 boar coons. That's boys, by the way. Yes, boys. Not non-gender, binary, whatever. Boys. We were coming back home, and we come to what was called the upper fence. And Grandpa said, "Here." And he handed me the lantern. He put a hand up on a fence post, popped over. He was 65, 67 years old. Just like it was nothing. Hand me that light, boy. I had to climb up, you know, next to the post and go over. What about that? I didn't believe him at all until he proved what he was saying. And once he proved what he was saying, I had faith in the other stories that he told me. You see, it began with miraculous stories, and our passage does too, doesn't it? It is the day of the resurrection in this story as it begins. And it's evening of the day of the resurrection when Jesus shows up where these disciples, only 10 of them, Judas is out of the picture at this point, and here's 10 of them, Thomas isn't present. Jesus appears behind locked doors. He appears in the front of his disciples and he says to them, "Peace be unto you." I bet they were hoping something peaceful was coming out of whoever, whatever this was that just showed up. Because they were scared to death. The Jews could be coming any minute to take them away, to crucify them, to beat them, to turn them over to Pilate, because they were followers of Jesus. And then Jesus shows them his hands and his side and says, "Put your fingers here, it's me." And he says to them, and this is important, get your book out. Get your book out. This is so important. If you're not reading your own Bible, how are you to test the truth? When I'm preaching, get your book out. Be sure I'm telling you what it says. Not what I say it says. There's a difference. Now let's go there. After he said this, verse 20, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw that it was the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. They're going to get commissioned. These 10. There's not 70. There's not 120. There's 10. Later, he'll roll Thomas into the group. And a few months later, he'll roll the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, into the group, making up to 12. Please see what's going on. When he had said this, he breathed on them. Now, Jesus said, it's better that I go to the Father, for if I don't go, he will not send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. But if I go, he will send the Holy Spirit. He ain't there yet. This is the evening of the day of the resurrection. He has not ascended to God. So this is not the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we get at Pentecost. Please see that. This is a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit on these disciples for their commissioning, for their permissions, their use, not permission, for their use and their purpose only. This institutes, from this point forward, they are no longer called disciples, they are called apostles. This brings in the age of the apostles or the apostolic age. This is what's going on. Do you see it? They become apostles. The 10 Jesus chose. He personally says to them, breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he gives them special authorities. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. This is an anointing upon these 10 to birth the church. To birth the church. When these guys die, it's gone. Anyone today who claims to be an apostle is not. Do you hear that? This is the age of the apostles. They are the ones that Jesus chose. It don't get to run down the line because we choose it to. It's something that only Jesus could do. It's important that you get that. It's the apostolic age. It was the birth of the church. They get a double dip. They will also get another dip along with 70 others in an upper room at Pentecost. But that's after Jesus ascends. That's after Jesus is at the right hand of God. And he tells them, go and wait for me. I'm going to send you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they go and they wait. And that's where they're in the Honda. Remember? They're in the upper room in one accord. I thought you went to sleep. I know this is more teaching than preaching, but this is important. This is core. This is core. Be not deceived. Jesus said, many will come in my name and they will deceive many. Folks, if you're not reading your own book, how do you know that you're hearing the right teaching? Because I got news for you. The devil's a smooth talker. He don't pick non-charismatic people to lie. You need to understand, his whole thing is doubt, division, deception. That's the same tools he's used for millennial. He's used them yet today. And many people, you're going to hear a few more sermons coming up on what does it look like later. But Thomas, who was called the twin, Didymus, by the way, in Greek, meaning we get our word ditto. Have you ever said that to someone? Ditto. To repeat, it's a twin, it's an image, it's a copy. He's a twin. One of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord, but he said to them, unless I see his hands and put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe you. In other words, I got to see, you got to prove it. Thomas wasn't a doubter, he was just from Missouri, the show me state. I just ain't going to believe you. Why did he say those particular things? Because that's what they told him. They said, we saw his hands, and we had an opportunity to put our hand in his side too. I ain't believing you until I see the same thing you saw. You not getting me there. And just that evening, guess what happened? No, it's a week later. Did you see that? It's a week later. They're back in that upper room. They still hide now, still afraid. Jesus shows up again. Repeat, peace be unto you. And he must have been eavesdropping, wasn't he? Because he calls old Thomas and says, hey, Thomas, have a look, buddy. Put your hand in here. That's right. It's me. And Thomas said, oh, Lord, I do believe. But I want you to look what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, have you believed because you have seen? Have you believed because you have seen? You didn't believe my witnesses. You didn't believe your fellow disciples. So you've only believed because you've seen. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. I haven't saw his nail-scarred hands, church. I haven't saw a wound in his side. He hasn't shown up in an upper room where I was hiding and said, peace be unto you. But I believe. Why do I believe? I trust that this is the Word of God. I trust this isn't a fairy tale. I trust the histories that I've studied. But even more than any of that, I trust the lives that I've saw turned inside out and upside down and changed. I trust, as Nicholas said during Sunday school, the miracles I've seen. How many of you believe in miracles? Folks, I got news for you. If you don't believe in miracles, go over to the hospital and watch the outpatients come out. The very things that used to kill people are our same-day surgery now. God's at work. Well, that's the doctor's gifts, really. Do you think that's just that some doctor got good? It's gifts, talents, and abilities. We need to honor God with them. We need to admit that they came from them. But I have saw more. Not only have I read it, I have studied it. I've been educated in it. I believe it. I haven't saw him, but I believe in him because he's alive in me. Because in about 40 days from this point, he will ascend and he will send his Holy Spirit. Belief comes by information that we trust, and faith and belief cannot be separated. You don't have one without the other. After I saw a dugout and saw my grandpa do that little jump over the fence, I had faith in what he said. So I had belief. Now some of the stories were a little incredible. Like the night he was running back home, having been out coon hunting, and a bear got after him. And he led the bear in the back door of the house, and his mama killed it with a frying pan. I didn't really believe that one, but it sure was funny to hear him tell it. They would pull your leg just a little bit. Belief and faith are inseparable. Takes both. And when we read our Bible, we need to believe what we're reading and have faith that the message is more than just those words. For this is not just a book. This isn't Huck Finn. This is the living Word of God. It's not just words on paper. It's alive in our reading. It should become alive in our hearts. We should remember that while these 10 got a special double dip, they got this personal anointing from Jesus in this upper room, they'll later get the same one we got also, the Holy Spirit. I want to close with asking you a couple questions, and I'm not answering them this week. How many Holy Spirits are there? One. What does that mean? Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Father, we thank you. We truly thank you. That having not seen, we still believe. And that we have faith that your word is true. Father, we have the history of the church. We have the witness of saints come before us many times. Father, we read books like Fox's Book of Martyrs, History of the Jews by Josephus. We study Roman history. We find the chronicles of the early church, the trials of the Christians. We find people who stood despite great harm and death, torture and pain. And Father, it isn't just a simple belief in a hokey pokey story that would allow a man to stand at the burning flames of a post and proclaim you as he burned. It was a conviction that was deeper, stronger than just a story passed down. For it is faith by faith, tradition by tradition. And Father, we thank you that you love us and that we can believe and know that our Redeemer lives. Father, we pray today that our hearts be renewed, our spirits be filled, and that we would love as we've been loved. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May we go to share what we believe and what secures and holds our faith in our journey together. And now may grace and peace abound, may mercy fill, may love sustain. May you go in the peace and grace of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.